This Psalm 91 is often used as the tract for the Mass for the first Sunday in Lent. So I'll use that as my text for this brief homily about going into our own wilderness. Whoso dwelleth under the fence of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say unto the Lord, Thou art my hope, my stronghold, my God, and Him will I trust. For He shall deliver thee from the snare of the hunter and from the noisome pestilence. He shall defend thee under His wings, and thou shalt be safe under His feathers. His faithfulness and truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for any terror by night, nor for the hour that flieth by day, for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the sickness that destroyeth in the noonday. 1,000 shall fall beside thee, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Yea, with thine eyes shalt thou behold, and see the reward of the ungodly. For thou, Lord, art my hope. Thou hast set thine house of defense very high. There shall no evil happen unto thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee in their hands, that thou hurt not thy foot against the stone. Thou shalt go upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou tread under thy feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him up, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will hear him. Yea, I am with him in trouble. I will deliver him and bring him to honor. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Psalm 91. A reading on the commentary of St. Jerome on the book of Joel. Of course, St. Jerome is one credited with translating the Bible from the original Greek and Hebrew into Latin, what is called the Vulgate, from which came the Douay Rheims in the Roman Catholic Church, and I guess later the Jerusalem Bible came of that. So, but the original translation into Latin was by St. Jerome, and that would have been, I believe, in the 3rd century. So he writes, "Return to me," when we think of this psalm and for our proper of today. "Return with me only with all your heart, and prove that your repentance is genuine by fasting, weeping, and lamentation. Fast now, and ye will feast forever. Fast now, and ye will feast forever. Weep now, and you will leap hereafter. Present mourning becomes future joy. I know it is one of our customs to rend your garments as a mark of distress and anger. The high priest did this to underline the charges against the Lord our Savior, and to underline the charges against Paul. Even Paul and Barnabas did it, though only because of the blasphemy that they had heard. Well, I say it is not your garments you must rend, but your sinful hearts. Not your garments, but your sinful hearts, which like the wineskin will burst unless you tear them. When you have done this, you can return to the Lord your God, from whom you have been estranged by your former sins. Do not let the greatness of your sin make you despair of pardon. The greater the sin, the more striking is the power of God's mercy." When we think of King David, I interrupt myself here a little bit. When we think of King David, we see that no sin is beyond God's reach. Nothing. If we think that, we may stumble into a grievous sin of pride, thinking that God is not big enough to forgive us our sin. And this season of Lent is all about emptying out our hearts and our souls, unburdening our souls and our hearts as we approach Easter. "The Lord is gracious and merciful, preferring the repentance of the sinner to his death, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, not being impatient as we are, but waiting a whole lifetime for our return to him. He is high above evil, or rather, he repents of evil, so that if we repent of our sins, he repents of his threats and does not carry them out. His heart softening as we change our attitude. The evil spoken of in this context is not the opposite of virtue, but simply affliction. In the sense in which our Lord said, sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. Or as on in that other quotation, if there is any evil in the city which the Lord has not caught. Joel, just remember this is all about Joel. The theme is fairly dark, but it's dark because it speaks of our sin. Joel speaks of God then as gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, high above evil, or rather repenting of evil. But he did not want us to make the thoughts of God's great mercy a pretext for careless living. That, you know, sometimes people, especially in evangelical circles, say, well, I got saved, and that's good to affirm Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. But it does not stop there. It's only a beginning. It's only a beginning. So we know, so again, it's not a pretext for careless living, saying, well, my sin's covered, my sin is covered. But so he adds prophetically, but who can guarantee that he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him? For my part, Joel says, I beg of you to repent, and I assure you that God's mercy surpasses our wildest dreams, our worst sins. As David says, King David, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. But since we cannot know the depth of the riches and wisdom and glory of God, I wish to take another look at the words. Who can guarantee that he will return and repent? And say that while I hope God will return and repent, we cannot be sure he will. The words who can guarantee implies something difficult or impossible. The words which follow, sacrifice and libation for the Lord your God, mean that after he has blessed us and gracious forgiven our sin, we should offer a sacrifice to God. And that sacrifice, of course, is our whole being. Remembering that he made us in his own image. We are not our own, but we are his, because he created each and every one of us in his image. And our task this Lent and through our life is to work hard, participate in our salvation, which he has given us with his very body and blood. But we participate, and especially in this season of Lent, not so much to give up something, but to take on something. I remember a pre-Lenten sermon I heard many years ago. We abstain from meat on Fridays during Lent, which is a good thing to do. It's a good practice. But he said if abstain from meat means you go to Red Lobster and have all you can eat shrimp, may it's better to eat just one hamburger. In other words, it's our attitude. Why are we doing it? The church tells me, say, I'll be in mortal sin if I eat meat on Friday. That isn't the issue. You do it because you love God. You want to set aside something that you enjoy and have something lesser value, lesser taste. But in addition to doing that, maybe the money you spent on this steak, spend less on the fish or the mac and cheese or whatever you have for Lent, and you put it towards relieving of the poor, worthy cause, especially giving maybe a little something extra to the church. But most of all, giving ourselves up to prayer and fasting from things that inordinate desires, sins of the flesh, which you should give up anyhow, but if there's something that besets, a sacramental confession, as we say here, is the purpose of a sacramental confession is to unburden the soul, not to make a confession because we're told to do so. As we say in our circles, all may, some should, none must. We come to a sacramental confession when we cannot by ourselves find the forgiveness of God. It's there, but sometimes it's hard for an individual to find us. And that's when it is a good time to to seek a priest that will hear a sacramental confession and give you wise and good counsel, and not beating over the head with penance, but giving you penance that's meaningful, that will give you a moment of pause. I remember the first time I made a sacramental confession. The priest says, I'm not going to give you any penance. I'm going to ask you to go out into the church and sit in silence in front of the Blessed Sacrament. And I sat there and I sat there. And the tears came. I didn't wimp. The tears just flowed. It was the best penance that I ever received. And that is the purpose of Lent. To repent in sackcloth and ashes. Rend your heart and not your garments. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.